This podcast covers the Federalist era, the Jeffersonian era, growth, and expansion. On April 30th, 1789, George Washington became the first president of the United States and John Adams became the first vice president. Throughout his presidency, Washington established several traditions that future presidents would follow. These were known as precedents. A few of the famous precedents established by Washington included giving an inaugural address, serving only two terms as president, the creation of a cabinet, and a foreign policy of neutrality. Washington's first cabinet included Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson, Secretary of Treasury Alexander Hamilton, and Secretary of War Henry Knox. The first Attorney General was Edmund Randolph. In terms of the judiciary, the first Congress reached a compromise. Both state and federal courts would exist. The federal courts would be made up of 13 federal district courts, 3 federal circuit courts of appeal, and 1 Supreme Court. The first Chief Justice was John Jay. Although Congress initially passed 12 amendments for the Bill of Rights, only 10 were ratified by the states and became our Bill of Rights to protect individual rights, freedoms, and liberties. To build credit with foreign countries, Hamilton's plan was for Congress to pay back all of the debt owed to foreign nations, individuals, and that owed by the individual states. Many opposed Hamilton's plan because it would have made those who bought war bonds at a discount price very rich. These individuals were known as speculators. Also, in general, the South owed less debt than the North did. Hamilton also favored establishing a national bank and setting a tax on goods imported into America called a tariff. The increases in taxes called for by Hamilton met some resistance. In July 1794, protests over a tax on whiskey turned violent in Pennsylvania. It was only after Washington sent troops to enforce the tax that the violence ended. On the Western Front, Washington worried that other countries would settle west of the Mississippi. As a result, he tried to negotiate with the natives, but American settlers ignored the treaties that were signed and many sided with England. In 1793, war broke out in Europe between England and France. America was divided on who they should support. Washington issued his Proclamation of Neutrality, forbidding Americans from fighting in the war and banning foreign warships from American ports. Around the same time, the English began kidnapping American sailors at sea and forcing them to join the English Navy. This policy became known as impressment. By the late 1790s, two political parties formed in America. Those who sided with Hamilton and a strong central government became known as the Federalists, and those who sided with Jefferson and wanted a limited national government became known as the Democratic Republicans. In 1796, Washington announced that he was not going to run for a third term as president. The Federalists nominated John Adams, and the Republicans nominated Thomas Jefferson for president. When the votes were tallied, John Adams won the presidency, and Thomas Jefferson became the vice president. As the second president, Adams' presidency was not a harmonious one. America was being pulled into war in Europe. When France learned that the Jay Treaty with England, it began kidnapping Americans. Adams sent men to negotiate peace in France. The 3 French diplomats, who became known as X, Y, and Z, requested a bribe and a loan to settle the dispute. Adams also grew very skeptical of foreigners for their influence in America. He quickly signed a set of laws against foreigners and those who wanted to disrupt the American government, known as the Alien and Sedition Acts. The Naturalization Act required aliens to be residents for 14 years instead of 5 years in order to become citizens. The Alien Act allowed the president to imprison or deport aliens that he deemed to be dangerous. The Sedition Act made it a crime to speak, write, or publish false, scandalous, and malicious criticisms of the government. Although the Federalists nominated John Adams for re-election, the 2 candidates who received the highest votes were Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr. In fact, they both received 73 votes. Because it was a tie, the House of Representatives had to vote to break the tie. After 35 re-votes, the tie was finally broken and Jefferson became the 3rd president of the United States. As a Democratic Republican, Jefferson favored a smaller government and feared that a strong central government threatened personal liberties. He immediately reduced government spending, cut taxes, reduced the military, and cut government jobs. In the last days of the Adams presidency, he appointed several midnight judges from the Federalist Party. This gave rise to the case Marbury versus Madison, which established judicial review. The Constitution was deemed the supreme law of the U.S. All laws had to follow the Constitution, and the Supreme Court was to judge the constitutionality of laws. One theme throughout Jefferson's presidency was the push westward. Prior to 1800, few settlers lived west of the Mississippi River. However, it was increasingly common for large groups of settlers to push westward in large caravans of Conestoga wagons. Even though Spain controlled the region, it allowed American settlers to live in the Louisiana Territory. In 1802, the Spanish stopped allowing Americans to settle Louisiana and New Orleans because it secretly transferred the territory to France. Its leader, Napoleon Bonaparte, had plans to create an empire in the Americas. Fearing that France might follow through with its plans, Jefferson authorized his new minister to France, Robert Livingston, to buy the Louisiana Territory for $10 million. At the same time, a slave revolt in Santo Domingo, Haiti, led by Toussaint Louverture, pushed the French off the island. It now had no need for Louisiana, since the French Empire in the Americas was based upon the resources found on the island. Napoleon also faced financial crisis and needed money to fight against England in Europe. France offered to sell the Louisiana Territory to the United States for $15 million. Even before the Louisiana Purchase, America was interested in exploring and mapping lands west of the Mississippi River. It authorized Meriwether Lewis and William Clark to lead an expedition 4,000 miles to the Pacific Ocean. The expedition included expert rivermen, carpenters, scouts, a cook, two native and French translators, a slave named York, and a Shoshone chief's daughter named Sacagawea. Between 1805 and 1807, Zebulon Pike also explored the land between the Mississippi River and the Rocky Mountains. The northern states believed that the Louisiana Purchase was unconstitutional and threatened to break away from the country, but they needed New York to join their northern confederacy. Alexander Hamilton accused Aaron Burr of conspiring to break away from the country, and as a result, he lost the election for governor of New York. Burr challenged Hamilton to a duel. Hamilton lost and died of his wounds. During Jefferson's presidency, Tripoli declared war on the United States after the U.S. refused to pay money guaranteeing its ships a safe passage through the area and protection against pirates on the Barbary coast of Africa. Jefferson also faced problems as a result of remaining neutral in the war between England and France. The U.S. continued to trade with both, but relations were tense. England began stopping American ships looking for deserters, and even fought a skirmish with an American ship called the Chesapeake. Jefferson's response to England's violation of American neutrality was the Embargo Act, banning trade with all countries. Later, the Non-Intercourse Act was passed, which banned trade with just England and France. Both acts hurt American business. In 1809, the Republican candidate for president, James Madison, defeated the Federalist Charles Pinckney and became the fourth president of the United States. Madison immediately faced tension with England and France, as well as with natives in Ohio. One native named Tecumseh formed a native confederacy of 14 nations. William Henry Harrison defeated the natives at the Battle of Tippecanoe, but it confirmed the alliance between the natives and England. Although America was not ready for war, tensions with England had escalated. Many called for the War of 1812, Mr. Madison's War, and it was not terribly popular. In 1813, the Americans invaded the Canadian capital of York, modern-day Toronto, and burned the Parliament building to the ground. Andrew Jackson attacked and killed hundreds of native Creeks at the Battle of Horseshoe Bend and faced criticisms for his brutality. In 1814, the British finally defeated the French in Europe and sent thousands of troops to fight in America. On August 24, 1814, the British sailed up the Chesapeake, marched to Washington, D.C., and burned it in retaliation. They then sailed to Baltimore. At the Battle of Fort McHenry, at the entrance of Baltimore Harbor, a fierce battle ensued. A lawyer named Francis Scott Key watched the bombardment of the fort, which lasted throughout the night. Inspired by the American victory, he wrote a poem-turned-song called The Star-Spangled Banner. Despite signing the Treaty of Ghent, ending hostilities between England and the U.S., the Americans, under General Andrew Jackson, won a final decisive battle at New Orleans. With Washington and France banished into Canada and Europe, the West was open for American settlement. With new toll roads, called turnpikes, and man-made water routes, called canals, expansion westward was made easier and quicker. An example of this was the Erie Canal. In 1807, Robert Fulton developed the first luxury steamship. By 1850, the U.S. had over 700 for transporting passengers by water. It also had over 3,600 miles of canals by 1850. Between 1791 and 1803, four new states were added to the country: Vermont, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio. Between 1816 and 1821, five new states were added to the country: Indiana, Illinois, Mississippi, Alabama, and Missouri. After the War of 1812, few political divisions existed in the country. The time period became known as the Era of Good Feelings. In the election of 1816, Republican James Monroe faced little opposition and easily became the fifth president. The Era of Good Feelings did not last long. Soon, deep divisions occurred in the United States based on regional differences. Some of these included the issues over tariffs, a national bank, and transportation products, but most importantly, slavery. John C. Calhoun of South Carolina became a supporter of the South. Daniel Webster of New Hampshire became an outspoken Northerner. And Henry Clay of Kentucky supported the interests of the West. The issue over slavery was pushed to center stage in 1820 when Missouri applied for statehood. The South wanted it admitted as a slave state, and the North wanted it to be a free state. As a result, there was a compromise. The Missouri Compromise held that Missouri would be admitted as a slave state, and Maine would be admitted as a free state, thereby keeping the balance in Congress. It also banned slavery in Louisiana Territory above 36 degrees north latitude. By the early 1820s, England and the United States limited their military presence along the Canadian border. The U.S. gained Florida from Spain in exchange for land along the Texan border. And revolutionaries in Latin America named Simón Bolívar and José de San Martín led several countries to freedom against Spain. In 1821, Mexico gained its independence. On December 2, 1823, after hearing rumors that several European nations were interested in land in the Americas, President Monroe issued a statement, which later became known as the Monroe Doctrine. It said that Europe could keep its existing colonies in the Americas, but that North and South America were henceforth not to be considered as subjects for future colonization. Good luck on the exam.